Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Boo! I'm Roseanne. It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century from I Love Lucy to News Radio. I am your mistress of the dark, Barb Hardley. And over here is the Jackie to my Roseanne, Ethan K. Hi, Ethan.
Hey, Barb. I'm happy to be the Jackie to your Roseanne.
Well, and also just, you know, I am a little bit discombobulated for a number of reasons. The most staggering one being my beauty. Ethan, compliment me on my look.
Barb, you're looking fantastic tonight. And if you are not watching us on YouTube, you are missing out on this 1960s Catwoman Felicia Hardy look. This is incredible platinum blonde hair. Sequin dress.
Oh my god. Well, I'll
diamond
stand.
Necklace.
Oh god.
I'm saying diamonds. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, yes, I have styled my very first wig. Wigs are my blind spots, but I did spend hours styling this, which sure. Because Ethan, it was originally just straight. It was flat. So
you had to play around with it. Teased it open.
And there's just solid chunks. Like this is, that's what you kind of have to do is just drench it in a hairspray and pray.
And then it becomes malleable.
Yes. So because I spent so much time trying to look this gorgeous, I don't have any notes or don't have a script.
We have a couple scripts.
The scariest episode of all is, what are we doing?
Well, let's level set real quick and say that this is the 90s episode of our top rated sitcoms for each decade. And it's also the Halloween episode, because we wanted to make it kind of difficult for ourselves, where not only did we find the top rated sitcom of each decade, we wanted to find a Halloween episode, and we also didn't want to do Bill Cosby.
Well, and luckily, so I think we had to avoid that in the 80s. 90s, we were good. But the number one sitcom of the 90s is Seinfeld, which does not have a Halloween episode. And then I think it goes Friends. Friends' Halloween episode is in 2001, so therefore not eligible.
Not 90s.
And then it's Roseanne and Home Improvement. So in Home Improvement, I have actually done a Halloween episode of that show on this podcast. So Roseanne.
So let's dig into Roseanne. Have you done Roseanne on the podcast before I joined as a co-host?
We've done it a couple times. I don't think you've ever talked about it, but we've done it a couple of times.
Have you talked about all the scandals?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Roseanne, you know, people like to act like Roseanne just started wilding out recently. Girl's been a toxic fave for a very long time. It's just she used to be toxic like on the liberal side, and now she's flipped. She's conservative and toxic. So
it's hard. It's very hard to say where she's at right now. I have a list of all the things that she's been in the news for, aside from her work, listed by date. So we might get to go through that a little bit later. And this is all from publicly available sources, maybe with a little commentary, but this is just
her,
you know,
her writer's room was also notoriously combustible, and she would just hire, fire, just like revolving door.
But the one thing that's about her show was she did give a lot of women a foot in the door to the industry. And for the, and for example, this episode itself that we're going to do, Trick Me Down, was written by Amy Sherman Palladino, who was writer, creator, and producer of Gilmore Girls and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yes. So, you know, Roseanne, she took risks. I mean, she really just hired anyone. Like, that started, it started to become a problem later on.
It became a problem kind of early on with her hiring of her husband, Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold.
As a writer and an actor. We can get through all this. There's so much story. There's so much things going on.
Let's begin by just talking about Halloween. Ethan, have you watched anything spooky?
I have watched. If you have not watched, people at home, if you have not watched The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix, it is... I know I've crowed about Mike Flanagan's work before, but this is like a masterpiece. It is 8 episodes of just unbelievably good horror television with a ton of references to Edgar Allan Poe stories, short stories, even his one novel, events in his life. It is Easter eggs paradise. Mike Flanagan loves doing that kind of stuff. It's on Netflix. It just dropped, I want to say, like a week and a half ago.
Yeah. And also, homosexuals out there, if you've always been flirting with having a massive crush on Bruce Greenwood, you're going to.
And then
the mustache, the salt and pepper hair.
You're going to stop having a crush on him, and you're going to have a crush on Raul Coley.
Oh, yeah, also handsome. But yeah. I have a type, let's be honest.
I know your type.
Oh, she just wants men with money.
Then you need to watch the show and see what happens to all of his money.
Ooh. I've been watching something that you would be interested in, I think.
Okay.
Spooky on Hulu. Living for the Dead, hunty.
Ooh, okay.
Do you know anything about Living for the Dead?
No, but it's
the producers of Queer Eye. So, I mean, it is a bizarre premise. So it's 5 queer paranormally inclined or paranormal professionals go to from place to place that's haunted and like try to like heal the area and then also like heal the people that are being haunted, but they're all fierce and sassy. And I mean, it's from the queer, it's literally Queer Eye meets Ghost Hunters, but it feels a lot like live action Scooby-Doo because
Queer
I mean,
Eye for
it's
the dead guy.
Yes. It is really so like, you know, there's a witch who's like, a really cool lesbian, and then there's like a tech girl, and then there's a gay tarot dude who always wears a bowler hat, glasses, and a beard. And I do think I might have a crush on him. You know what? I don't know.
Is it like steampunk? Are they going for like a steampunk?
Yeah, he's very steampunk, which is not my aesthetic.
But not a deal breaker by any stretch of the imagination.
And then there's a really flamboyant medium. Like it's really wild. It is, but I mean also like it gets really emotional because like a lot of people, you know, like I just watched one where they went to a theater in Kentucky, like a stage theater, and they're like. It was really sweet because one of the old theater directors had recently passed and they felt like all of the employees basically say he always wanted to do drag, but he was always afraid this is Kentucky. So he never really did it. And then they were like, if he was going to do drag, his name was going to be Polar Vortex. And so then like the Ghost Hunters, like they gather everyone and they make like a slideshow of like old timey drag artists, old photos of the theater, and then photos of him. And they set up one of those. They had this little like REM meter or something that is basically like, you know, blink once for yes, blink two. So how they can talk to the ghosts. And it would light up every single time a photo of him would appear. And so it was like, but it was so sweet. But anyway, Living for the Dead and Fall of the House of Usher. Get into it.
Must have now TV.
Yeah. But this week, oh God, look at my hair. Sorry, I'm just beautiful. this week we're actually going to be traveling to October 29th, 1991. I got it. Yes, that was memory. Terminator 2 ruled the box office, which is plot relevant. And some song I've actually don't think I've ever heard of was, what was it?
Romantic, like, by Karen White.
What
I'm
is
not familiar
that?
With it.
But if you is if she you're my in the, cousin?
If you were in the UK, The Fly by U2 was the top song.
Okay. Which also that didn't chart in America.
And also this on the same day, the American Galileo spacecraft made its closest approach to 951 Gaspara, the first, making it the first probe to ever visit an asteroid.
Oh, wow. And that's where they got Armageddon from.
But here in America, we were all watching Roseanne.
We were all watching Roseanne episode, Trick Me Up, Trick Me Down. It's from season 4, and it is the
episode sixth
episode of season 4. Remember how I didn't have time to write a script? And I don't know how they describe it, but I will say, like a lot of episodes of Roseanne, the plot of this episode doesn't exist.
There really was no plot for it.
That is also so, like, general feelings about Roseanne. That is the vibe with a lot of Roseanne, is it's kind of just we're dropping in for 30 minutes of time with the Connors.
Now, I do believe you have to have seen Trick Me Up, Trick Me Down before.
Yes.
And I realized that I had watched the opening before. I had watched the first half of this episode at some time in the past. But I didn't watch the second half where it really gets juicy. We got some great celebrity cameos, or before they were celebrity
before
cameos.
Before they were celebs. Well, so were you allowed to watch Roseanne? Because I was not.
We were not a big sitcom family. Which is ironic considering that we're doing this show. But I was very familiar with Roseanne. It was part of the zeitgeist when I was, you know, 9 through 15, 16 or so. And if you didn't know the show, she was in the news starting in 1990 for her rendition of the national anthem.
Oh, girl.
She was asked to sing the national anthem at a baseball game and sang a fairly off-key, screechy version.
What did they expect? Were they expecting Whitney Houston vocals? I don't think so.
To which afterwards she spit and grabbed her crotch. In her defense, she said that she was trying, that the speakers were really bad. She was having a hard time keeping a tune because the speakers were so bad. And she pretended to do a baseball spit, grab the crotch thing afterwards.
Clearly.
That's not what America saw.
Well, I mean, I think that, like, kind of no matter what, spitting and grabbing your crotch, baseball reference or no, after singing national anthem, it's probably going to rub some people the wrong way.
She was a known quantity. She had done at least 2 specials, I think, before she got picked up for the show. She developed the character of Roseanne, the domestic goddess, which was kind of housewife humor. She had been married twice. Yeah, she'd been married at least once, and she had, I think, 3 kids. And I should have written these down. She had 3 kids, grew up, in a Jewish family with, a gay brother and a lesbian sister. The lesbian sister ended up suing her for eight figures, saying that she helped her develop the character of Roseanne Connor, the domestic goddess, and she should be part of the profits. The statute of limitations expired and she got nothing.
Gotta love sisterly love.
Yes. But she was known as a stand-up. She was a known quantity as a stand-up. When the amazing duo of Marcy Carsey and Tom Werner, you might remember them from our episode of Oh Madeline. They were producers of Oh Madeline.
They were sitcom icons in terms of producing.
And they still are. They did Cosby, but they did A Different World, Grace Under Fire, Third Rock, That 70s Show. Mm-hmm. And they've come back to do That 90s Show, Carsey Werner. They approached Matt Williams, who's the creator of the show, to come up with a show with a mother as the central voice, a working mother, as opposed to a lot of the other sitcoms that mom was just at home taking care of kids. She was not a working person. Roseanne was, they hesitate to say the word blue collar, but it was mom was working, dad was working. Later in the series, Dan and Roseanne open a motorcycle maintenance shop.
Oh yeah, she works at the lunchbox for a while.
Exactly, and she still works.
She changes jobs a lot.
So does Jackie, the sister.
Mm-hmm. She's a truck driver in this era.
But it takes place in unspecified Illinois.
Well, it's Lansing. Wait, no. Got Lanford.
Lanford, which is not a real place.
Yes.
So the show lasted a long, it lasted 9 seasons.
And it goes wild in that last season.
Yeah.
When the whole winning the lottery, a lot of stuff happening. Also when it got revived, very distinct thing. They didn't revive it picking up where season 9 left off. They revived it to where season 6 or 7, because Jackie's kid disappears. the youngest Connor kid, Jerry, named after Jerry Garcia, is mentioned halfway in one of the first episodes of the revival and then never again. So it is the continuity of Roseanne is a mess.
The final episode of season 9, Roseanne reveals that in the entire season 9 back to a point was fiction written by her to cope with the death of her husband, Dan.
Yeah, very dark and depressing.
Yes. So the series gets canceled.
And then Roseanne has a show about nut farming.
Yes, she did a thing with her boyfriend of macadamia nut farming in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Did not do great, but you know, what are you going to do? 2017 did an 8 episode revival. They were shopping it around.
Yeah.
In 2018, the Connors Roseanne came back as Roseanne.
And it lasted. I mean, it was very successful, but then she took some Ambien, made some tweets. You know, Roseanne's going to Roseanne.
She made some tweets about former
Valerie Jarrett. Why do I remember the details?
Valerie Jarrett. This was 2018. She was a senior advisor to Obama. And she said, made racist comments about her.
Yeah, really fun. Really fun stuff.
In 2016, she came out and said, I am pro-Trump.
Yeah.
She had been very liberal up until that point. I believe that she even said at one point that she had a pilot in 2011 that got dropped, which she said because of her progressive politics.
Yeah.
Yet 5 years later, she's supporting Donald Trump and typing racist things on Twitter.
And this is the whole wild thing about her becoming a like mascot of the right, because it's like, do we not remember the whole American flag thing? It's just like they like the right is so desperate to have any celebrities, they're just like, oh, you're on our tie. Okay, good. We got you. Yay, we have one. You know, it's very weird.
So if we go back just a little bit, 2009, she did an article for Hebe magazine, which is a Jewish publication, dressed as Hitler. Yes, my notes need to be burned after this because the words Nazis, Hitler, and Trump are all over it.
This is James Wan's The Conjuring happening right now.
So
they're summoning something.
The publisher said, oh, this was her idea and we went along with it. And everyone's like, no, it's not a good idea. 2014, Trayvon Martin shooting. She had to apologize for doxing George Zimmerman's parents by posting their home address and phone number on online. Word. Tweeted it.
Just having
to which their house got mobbed by angry people.
I think the internet was a bad thing for Roseanne. Roseanne Internet's Barr should have never gotten the internet.
2018, the Parkland shooting, she posted that one of the survivors was making Nazi gestures, which was not true. Also in 2018, we had the Valerie Jarrett tweet. Also in 2018, she posted the conspiracy that George Soros helped Nazis get Jews into camps.
Right.
Which is not true. He was 14. And then in 2023, she had a lot of really awful things to say on a different podcast about Jews. She is Jewish and very proudly Jewish, but she said many very nasty things. Going back to 1991, she accused her parents of molestation, which she then rescinded after they lawyered up.
Well, and then there's actually like an arc in Roseanne about them having to deal with their father being abusive.
Yeah.
It's like a whole, and it's very, Roseanne, that was the thing. It's like Roseanne was a good show that actually like tackled a lot of very important topics.
And it was things the other shows were skirting around or not talking about it. Reflecting her growing up with a gay brother and a lesbian sister.
Yeah.
That was part of the plot of Roseanne.
I mean, you know, Roseanne gave me gay Martin Mull in forever. Yeah. I will be grateful for that one thing. but this is a Halloween episode, and Halloween episodes are iconic for Roseanne.
This was a really good one. And I'm off my soapbox, like listing all the bizarre, awful things she has done.
It's like you're a court stenographer.
I know. This is like Life with Luigi, where we're like, we don't endorse the person, but we have to do the show.
Well, yeah. And yeah, she's, you know what? She's who she is. I don't know.
Real quick, to end the story, she was fired from the Roseanne reimagining. The rest of the cast did so well that it spun off into the Conners, which is still the same going. Show. Yeah, it's still going. Same show and without her doing great.
I will also say, so like I covered, obviously at work, I covered Roseanne, the revival, and then I covered all the news leading up to the Conners. And then like, so when the Conners was coming out, like ABC, it was a huge controversy, huge deal. Like, what is Roseanne without Roseanne going to be like? Like, it was op-eds, pundits, like it was wild. But ABC invited like a handful of critics to come to ABC HQ to sit in a private viewing room to watch the first episode of the Conners. Like, they weren't sending out screeners. Like, if you wanted to review it, you had to be in the know. And who was one of the ladies that got to go? It was great. It was really cool. I was honored to be, I mean, I was sitting next to Matt Rausch from TV Guide that I like grew up reading, and this is so wild. And I liked the first Conners episodes. So anyway,
Let's
this episode starts with And it's very like inexplicable. Like one of Roseanne's friends, Knox, comes in. It's close to Halloween. She can't find anyone in the house. She wanders into the kitchen and finds Dan disemboweled on the dining room table.
Yes, the friend is played by Megan Fay. It's a character named Kathy Bowman. She was introduced this season as the nosy neighbor that that Roseanne didn't like. She was only in, I think, 4 episodes. She did not do a lot, but she has the wherewithal to enter someone's home unbidden.
Yeah.
yes, and she finds Dan guts out, and as she turns around, there's Roseanne.
There's Roseanne. She's like, I should have learned the first time. Yeah, like, God, I can't remember what she said. But she basically is like, yeah, you know, Becky's dad. Yeah, him. Killed him, too.
She says, just like gutting a fish.
Yeah. And again, like, remember, this is, what, 8 p.m. on ABC on a Tuesday night. And it's like, well, here's John Goodman's guts out, you know, like.
Dead man breathing. You know he's alive.
I think it also says something about Roseanne Connor as a neighbor, that her neighbor thought it was real. From judging by the reaction, she was like, oh yeah, it totally actually does make sense that Roseanne would kill Dan. Like, that's the vibe I get the other 364 a year.
So Dan stands up and holds his liver up. And Kathy Bowman runs out of the house screaming, said, "You people are sick." And then Roseanne says, "Happy Halloween." Dan says, "People get so ticked off every time we do this." And then Roseanne goes, "When will we learn?" And we get to the opening credits. Saxophone.
Yeah. With the table, you know, it's a, so what was your relationship with Halloween and pranks? Because sitcom characters love pranking out. They love punking. They love pranking, especially at Halloween, and it gets elaborate. I have never in my life done any of this. And I love Halloween.
Halloween's a holiday for greed. You go out and you get candy and you amass as much candy as you can amass in one evening. While it is still, while the lights are still on the porches, that's what you do.
As we learned last week, there are rules to remain safe.
So, how about you? Like, you didn't do pranks. You weren't a prank person.
No, I never have. I've never pranked. I will say, like, now that we have a back patio, I really, really, really do want to do, like, a Tim the Toolman Taylor style haunted house. Like, thing situation would be amazing, because I would love that. Have not done it because my crippling depression and potential over medication to course correct that has made it to where I don't really care about nothing.
Your executive dysfunction is taking a little siesta.
So, you know, maybe sometime. But I mean, honestly, like, I would love to move to the suburbs and just be, I mean, imagine this. Greeting the children, come into the basement.
Oh, not that part.
That's the weird thing about 90s sitcoms, is they're always bringing the kids into the house, which it's like, I don't think they would do that.
We never did that. If we knew the kids, we might like take a picture, but we'd like, no, not really. And that was like, but the only trick that I ever knew was the day after Halloween. Whatever the day after trick-or-treating was, that we'd be back at school, there'd be a lot of corn around the school where kids tic-tac, where they take the corn and they throw it at the school windows and it makes a little noise. And growing up in, you know, eastern Pennsylvania, where there's a lot of cornfields and people grew corn, there was plenty of dry corn to go around to tic-tac the school.
Plenty of dry corn to go around.
Enough for the winter.
Also, in the Connor household, they take Halloween very seriously. So, like, the next morning, like, getting ready for Halloween, I think, right? Like, Becky doesn't want to do anything.
Becky wants to go to a party. Becky's the oldest daughter, played in this instance by Alicia Gorenstein.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want to do nothing. And Roseanne's like, excuse me, in this family. I don't think so. And then a little DJ played by Michael Fishman.
Comes out a director.
Who comes out dressed as Alfalfa, but he wants to be Terminator. And now, like, these are both two very, very, very 1991 references, because, like, the Little Rascals went through a resurgence in the early 90s.
I remember it. It was on TV quite a bit. One of my friends had a Buckwheat calendar. This was probably around 1991. It was a whole thing. Buckwheat, the character of Buckwheat was used in a lot of like t-shirt advertising. I don't know why it was just
Tay, right?
Exactly.
I recall He-Man Woman Haters Club.
I went to school one time with my hair parted down the middle, and I gave myself the little
cowlick
in the back. And I don't know why I did it. I just decided to do it one day.
Well, you know, a lot of us like making statements with our fashion.
Exactly. You understand.
I know.
People will understand.
He doesn't want to wear this. He wants to be the Terminator, which is the number one movie in America, obviously.
He has no idea who Alfalfa is.
Yeah, I do want to point out, this is back in the day when sitcoms were filmed close enough to when they aired that you could make a reference like that. Like, yeah. Nowadays, it would be a year. I miss this.
And Darlene, the middle child, doesn't want to do anything. She just wants to stay at home. And they say, and Roseanne says, don't you just love Halloween? And she says, I used to. I used to do a lot of things. I used to want to marry Scott Baio. Now one wants to marry Scott Baio.
Well, Sarah Gilbert's a lesbian, and Scott Baio. Roseanne and Scott Baio are aligned on the same team. I don't know. There's a lot of layers to that.
So they do something that was kind of interesting, that Dan is carving a pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
And they go through the entire process of carving the pumpkin, taking the top off, scooping out the guts. Jackie comes in and helps with the guts. It didn't feel like there were a lot of room for different takes.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we're carving a pumpkin. This is
what I think about with Roseanne. Is Roseanne, so this is season 4. So she is a better actor. She's not the funniest, greatest actor ever, but she's good. But they smartly, and they also did this with Home Improvement, they took the stand-up and they paired them with John Goodman and fucking Laurie Metcalf. You know, like, there's like, well, let's get the two best, like, improviser theater actors and, like, just have them go at it. And that's what makes this show and, like, scenes like that just so, like, real and natural.
And John Goodman had done work before this. I remember he was the coach in Revenge of the Nerds.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh.
Just a great role for him. He was actually a criminal in the movie The Wrong Guys, which was a Louis Anderson, Richard Belzer, Richard Lewis comedy.
That's a weird trio.
Had an amazing cast of Fred Ward was in it, Ernie Hudson was in it. Ooh. I was like, wow, Franklin Ajayi's in it, who I love. And I'm just like, it's not good. And I asked, and I feel like I asked Ernie Hudson about it one time. And I'm like, oh, I saw you in this. He's like, that was the first one they ever put us up in a hotel.
well, so Jackie shows up. What does Jackie want? I mean, I know Jackie wants to know what Roseanne's being for Halloween. And Roseanne's keeping it zipped.
Because Jackie went through a bout of loneliness and called a whole bunch of ex-boyfriends because she didn't want to be alone at the Elks Halloween party on Halloween.
Good on them for having somewhere to go on Halloween.
I think this was a really neat touch that their big social circle, their big social arena is an Elks Lodge.
It now, feels very apropos.
We have an Elks Lodge here in Westchester. I don't know what they do. I'm a rival Masonic organization, but good on them. It was a very hoppin' place when they do show it. But admits that she has called multiple ex-boyfriends, and for some of them, his mom picked up. The mama's boy's mom picked up.
Yeah, or it could have been him. She was like, I don't actually know.
Another one she hung up on when he answered, and one, you know, she left a message, but she's like, I'm cool. I don't need to go to the Elks Lodge with somebody. I will go as my beautiful self.
And, she wants to know where Roseanne's going to be, and Roseanne doesn't tell her, but there was like a hint, right? There was like
the hint was belt. Tubing.
Oh yeah.
There's tubing involved. So, you know, it's going tubing. We just saw Dan with his guts all over a kitchen table. So they're going to up from there. Looking forward to it. Super excited. Yeah.
Is that, then we go straight to the Elks Lodge, right? And we see Jackie's costume.
There's a little bit of a bit where Roseanne says, DJ, I don't care what you do, do what you want. So he comes down at the end of the scene, full Terminator gear, but also with the alfalfa cowlick.
Yeah, still alfalfa. Yeah, so he's the alfalfa-nator. Which, honestly, creative. Go for it, kid.
Yes.
At the Elks Lodge, it's the night of the Halloween party, and we open on Jackie is there in her costume with Crystal, Roseanne's friend, who's wearing the exact same thing, and they are dressed
very much like that.
Very much like I am right now.
With the sleeves and the long sleeves and everything. Because
this was my Morticia dress last year.
Jackie is dressed as Morticia, but Crystal says that she is dressed as Elvira. So there is no costume overlap at all. But Jackie still says they look like the Judds from hell.
I love that. Might be my favorite line. We look like the Judds from hell. Love that line.
And then someone else comes in and says, oh, you both dressed as Cher.
Yeah. Well, I thought they were going to say, was it Crystal? Gail Waters? No, Gail.
Crystal Gale?
Crystal Gale, like the country singer with the long.
She still has that long hair. One of my friends just saw her this past week.
Well, work.
Yeah. At the Grand Ole Opry. Crystal.
I know it well. And then we find out what Roseanne's costume is.
you're rushing the plot because you missed out on Tom Arnold as the ghost of Elvis Presley.
Yeah, because they used to date. Well, on the show.
Married. They were married.
Their characters were married?
No, the characters weren't married. Tom Arnold, comedian. No. Comedian, I actually kind of respect the fact that he's gotten his life together and that he is working constantly. He was dating Roseanne. He opened for Roseanne as a comedian. They started dating. She brought him on as a writer for the writer's room. He was credited, I think, with 4 episodes of the show. But he came on as a character named Arnie. Tom Arnold as Arnie. It was like Arnie Thomas. Let me check real quick. Yeah, Arnie Thomas, which was someone that went to school with Roseanne and Jackie for a while. And it is revealed that that he and Jackie hooked up when they were in high school, but she doesn't really remember it. So he comes around. He's kind of like we don't like this person. But so that's why they're kind of like avoiding him. I'm trying to find out what the name of his show was.
The Jackie Thomas Show was his.
That's what it was. So he he kind of left this show to do this solo show, Jackie Thomas Show, as the character Jackie Thomas. He leaves Roseanne. Jackie Thomas Show does not do well.
It's like notorious failure. Like,
yeah, he comes back to Roseanne as Jackie Thomas and not Arnie. And people like, the joke is that the characters do not recognize him as being the same person as Arnie.
Okay.
But he's just kind of like
the hubris of this show.
Yeah. So he's the hubris of the show to be like, this is my boyfriend. He's going to be a writer and we're making him a character.
Two characters.
Yeah. Two characters. But then, yes, we do get the costume reveal.
And it is Dan and Roseanne are a dead ventriloquist and the dead dummy.
It is in the tradition of great ventriloquil, Dedger Bergen and Mortuary Snerd.
Yeah, I like Dedger Bergen. Wait, who is Mortuary? What's that a riff on?
Mortimer Snerd was another one of Edgar Bergen's. He was okay. the hick, the dumb
and,
hick.
And was Candace Bergen more loved than that one or less loved than that one? What was the ranking?
I would say it was Charlie McCarthy was number one. He had his own room. It was bigger than Candace Bergen's. Then I would say Candace and then Mortimer Snerd.
Okay, cool. Just so make sure we get this all cleared up. Which is just a wild fact that it's like, yeah, Murphy Brown was her older brother was a dummy.
I'd still say that Edgar Bergen would you say that Edgar Bergen or Jeff Dunham is the more famous ventriloquist?
Oh well, Jeff Dunham now, just because the kids nowadays.
Kids don't even know. What would they know Edgar Bergen from? Muppet movie?
Muppet
movie.
I mean I only really know him from, like, you know, retellings of the Charles Manson murders. Because Candace Bergen lived in the house, right? She had moved out. And then the Tates moved, right? Like, it was Candace Bergen's house at some point.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Because she was dating Terry Melcher, and Terry Melcher was the producer that snubbed Charles Manson. And that's what is believed is that Manson was going to send people to that house to kill Terry Melcher.
I love this little game of telephone. We've gone from Roseanne to Tom Arnold to Edgar Bergen.
I got to check something real quick. Charles Manson. Terry Melcher was the son of Doris Day.
Oh, go back and listen to our Doris Day episode where she tries to look half as pretty as I do.
So on that little tangent, we did get some actual funny jokes between Dan and Roseanne. My favorite being, I hear Jackie's a truck driver, and that's a reversal because now she sits in the front seat with her feet on the floor.
Yeah. It's good. I love it. I also weirdly think that Dan is cute as his like leisure suit zombie with the powder blue and the ruffle shirt. Just I don't know. John Goodman's handsome. I can't help it. But this is the costume that Roseanne was keeping secret. And the tubing is because Dan takes a drink of water and it all spurts out of holes in Roseanne's body.
Yeah. It's an old water trick.
Mm-hmm.
And then the plot happens, like the plot that is extremely
there's some plot
no one really cares about. It's that the neighbor, Kathy Bowen, and her husband show up dressed as clowns, and Roseanne has it in her head that they're trying to get her back for scaring the Kathy with the dead Dan thing, which, to reference the opening like that as like a major part of the episode, that doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah, usually it opens its own little thing. And especially a show like Roseanne, where the plots are just kind of... the show is written in a very bizarre non-sitcom structure. Like that it's just kind of things happen. And so the fact that there is something is interesting.
Just kind of things happen.
But also what's happening is that Jackie is flirting with a moose.
Jackie is flirting with a moose.
I love all the shots of like, oh, hey, I'm trying to get that moose to take his head off. And it's just like, hey, I'm a moose.
she's trying to, and Jackie who was like 35 years old. I looked it up and I'm like, I'm older than Jackie was in this. And yeah. I have a crush on Jackie.
Yeah.
Laurie Metcalf.
Oof.
But she's trying to convince like Roseanne, you know, to let it go. Don't follow Kathy. She's being weird. And John Goodman says, I'll be at the bar. If I'm not back in 15 minutes, I'll be at the bar.
Yeah.
There's some great. Good lines. There's some good zingers here.
Yeah, I love that. And what you do find out, like the moose plot does continue a little bit just because we find out who the moose is, which I clocked from the voice alone. I could tell.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was Booker. Season one character Booker, played by George Clooney. Just a good 3 years before ER.
Yeah. So the things that I'd seen him in were Return to Horror High and Attack of the Killer Tomatoes 2.
Oh, and he was also in an episode of The Golden Girls.
So yeah.
Yeah. And this is also, George Clooney is a handsome fellow. I'm going to say not really so much here. Got kind of like a greasy hair. I don't know. It's interesting to see George Clooney looking. It's also wild to watch George Clooney playing a character that someone is like, no, I don't want to fuck you.
I also I noticed it too. I clocked it. I said, I had at the top of my notes, Clooney has shitty posture.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very unlike me to be like, he is
drag
shitty
him,
posture.
Read him. It's an interesting little Clooney turn.
Yeah, and their plot really goes nowhere. It's kind of like, oh, Jackie, why did you dump me? And she goes, well, you were seeing someone else dating. And he goes, oh, so it was me. And maybe he comes back in like future episodes. And I really think he does because he's a recurring character in season two as season mm-hmm. four.
He was their boss at the factory.
Yeah, so that scene disappear. Like there's no closure. She doesn't say, let's give it a shot. She doesn't say goodbye. It just ends. It's gone. Anything could happen next episode.
And it does.
But then,
most of the rest of the Elks Lodge scene is just Roseanne. Like she follows the neighbor into the bathroom. Like she's like eyes on her trying to make sure that she's not going to get him back.
Yeah, and it's not something that I'm really invested in. I don't even know if it was something they wanted the audience to be invested in, because it's just such a minor thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. And Dan even talks to Kathy's husband, and he's like, nah, she's not going to do anything. She doesn't care.
Yeah.
the only person trying to raise the stakes is Roseanne, and it's not working. It's not doing well.
Now, when they get back from the Elks Lodge, when they go back home, they're getting into bed. Roseanne's washing off her makeup, a thing that I know nothing about.
You know, you keep that on all the time, 24/7.
No, this is my natural beauty. They open up the covers, and there's just a fuck ton of snakes in their bed. What? Like, that is wild. And we find out that it was the kids.
Yeah, the tension of, oh, Kathy did this is immediately diffused by Becky going, no, I did it.
And then Roseanne's very proud of her for doing it. But I'm also like, what? There is a B plot, an unseen B plot of the kids being like, how do we get our hands on eight snakes? Eight live snakes.
In an evening.
Yeah.
And Roseanne says, I just bought that bed, now it's got snake sweat on it.
And also, like, they're brave enough. I wouldn't be touching those snakes. Becky's a snake wrangler all of a sudden. Like,
well, if they're non-poisonous snakes, I feel better about it. I don't have problems with snakes. You just never know. You never know if they're poisonous or not. You can try to do like the shape of the head or the shape of the eyes. I can't do that.
That's how men tell if I'm poisonous or not.
Ah!
Ooh, nah.
You're going to go steal J. Jonah Jameson's money.
Ooh, give me them dollars.
Give me them Spider-Man photos.
Rare. Anyway. But yeah, no, it isn't the neighbor. It is the kids. Roseanne's weirdly happy. The snakes stay in the bed? Forever?
She just says, get the snakes out of the bed. We go to a commercial. And... it ends with Dan and Jerry Bowman. Jerry Bowman is Kathy Bowman, the neighbor's husband. He's the neighbor. He's Kathy Bowman's husband, Kathy, who we've been talking about this. But I didn't recognize him because at the Elks Lodge, he's covered in clown makeup.
Oh, yeah. So I didn't recognize him either as the husband.
He's just out of clown makeup. And I'm like, oh, OK. And I recognized him because I looked him up and he was in McHale's Navy, the movie with Tom Arnold, the remake of the
Sergeant Bilko, right?
No, Ernie.
Right. Yes. And so it's a fun little scene where like they're setting up a trap, a good old fashioned, like they set a box with no real kittens, right?
No real kittens, just a tape recorder of kitten.
Of a kitten. And they're like, okay, Roseanne will hear it. She'll open the door. Then this like bucket of fake blood or whatever will fall on her. And then, well, that's what we think is going to happen. And it is a nice, funny little twist of like they're watching and Dan's narrating, like, comes to the door, sees the cat, looks up, sees this is a very bad trick, or like sees this is very obvious, and then calls Becky. And Dan is like, oh, yay, she's gonna get her back. Like, that's a.
Yeah. And that's. I got to say, I was kind of underwhelmed by the episode. Despite the star power of Tom Arnold, George Clooney, and like a cast that went on to do like incredible things. Laurie Metcalf is a force of nature. Like Sarah Gilbert did over 1500 episodes of The Talk.
Like, yeah, I mean, this is an iconic show, you know, and John Goodman on Righteous Gemstones at the moment. Love.
It won multiple Emmys and Golden Globes. And I don't know, this episode left me feeling a little bit unimpressed.
I guess I could have gone with the one, because there are a lot of iconic Halloween ones. I don't know why I picked this one. So sometimes Halloween episodes drift into like fantasy land, and I don't like those. I'm like, let's keep Family it Matters. Grounded in reality.
Family Matters?
Well, okay, Steve-O is iconic.
The killer doll.
And also Family Matters has the one where they're vampires in the like 18th century, which is also great. God, that show. So I don't know. I wanted to do this one for some reason. I don't know. You know what? We all make mistakes.
It's got the great pedigree. It's got Tom Arnold. It's an episode with George Clooney. Amy Sherman Palladino wrote it. She is a like a superstar writer producer. Like, it should be firing on all cylinders, and it's okay.
It is like, it feels like this is an average episode of Roseanne, where like, you know, we showed up, they wrote a script, we got jokes, we did our best, you know, we have fun. Like, it starts with an iconic Roseanne prank, which I think that scene has probably been like chopped out and like, you know, shown in
maybe
like
that's
clip
where
shows.
I've seen it.
Yeah, like it feels like it's the kind of thing of like it. Tonight an hour of sitcom Halloween moments, you know. Or something. Yeah, so like it is, but then it goes into the, you know, the episode proper, and you know, we don't care about this getting her back. We don't care about this getting her back plot line. Not at all. Not one bit. But I have no must-have facts.
I can do some must-have facts.
I know the lineup.
We know the line, the ABC lineup for that night, and what was going on at the same time.
Oh yeah.
How do you usually do it? I can try to.
Well,
pretend
yeah.
To
so
be...
so the lineup for that night on ABC. This is a Tuesday on ABC, and this is all heavy hitters. We're talking Full House, followed by Home Improvement, followed by Roseanne, followed by Coach, and then Homefront, which is a show I do not know anything about. And seeing as how they lost half of the audience from Coach, I don't think many people know anything about that. So what are you going to watch? You read this to me.
Well, what are we going to watch? It's ABC has Roseanne. I don't have CBS has Rescue 911. Well, sorry, CBS has a movie Locked Up, A Mother's Rage, starring Cheryl Ladd and Jean Smart and Angela Bassett.
The plot synopsis,
it's a good cast.
That's crazy.
A single mother is wrongfully convicted of selling drugs, leaving her three children in the care of her overburdened sister. While in prison, she battles for freedom and helps expand the visiting rights of children of incarcerated mothers.
Okay, it takes a weird turn.
And then NBC had In the Heat of the Night, an hour-long show starring Carol O'Connor from All in the Family.
What was the theme song of In the Heat of the Night? So I feel like I remember that, but...
I never saw it.
I will admit that.
Yeah.
I'm but watching Roseanne.
Like a crime show?
Yeah.
There were cops. I mean, I just saw there were cops.
I am 100% watching Roseanne because this is a great night of television. Full House, Home Improvement. I mean, honestly, that first hour, I was 100% watching that when it aired, those two episodes.
We had... I would sit there and probably watch the entire ABC lineup up until Homefront.
Well, up until Roseanne in my house.
Oh, that's then you'd have to watch.
Turn it off.
Or you have to watch Locked Up, A Mother's Rage.
Yeah, that's what.
They're going to make you watch that and understand the visiting rights of children for incarcerated mothers.
The plight. Teach me.
My parents didn't care. We'd be watching Roseanne.
Who had the must-see performance in this episode?
Surprisingly enough, not Tom Arnold.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why he was there. I read his autobiography. It's very, like, look, he's like, look, I fucked up a lot in my life, and I'm going to fuck up again, but you know what? I'm trying. And I want to say that from everything that I've seen and heard, he's getting his shit together, and he's got a family, and I think he's on the straight and narrow. Must-see performance is Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah, just from the "we look like the Juts from Hell" line alone, that is great.
You could like film her like painting a stool, and I'd be like, "That's really good.
This is hilarious.
Great. Oh, unbelievable." Would you say her? Or would you say John Goodman? Because I know you're a John Goodman fan.
Well, yeah, but like he doesn't really do as much in this episode as Jackie does. He is cute in it. But when is he not?
Have a B plot. Jackie has a B plot. Dan doesn't.
The moose is funny.
the moose is funny. The ventriloquist bit, that was funny. I'll give it that.
On IMDb, 295 people rated this episode an 8.2 out of 10. Would you agree? Go higher or lower?
I'd go lower. I don't think it held together as plot very well. I'd give it maybe a 6.2.
Oh my God, that's a lot lower. I would say 7.2. I think that for a Halloween episode, it gave you the spook. I mean, yeah, let's say most other people see this episode of television at Halloween. Maybe, sure. Nah, I mean, there are other Roseanne episodes that are or other Roseanne Halloweens.
Maybe. Definitely maybe. I don't know. My time is precious. I would not watch this again.
Oh, wow. I mean, I think watch the first scene. Yeah. I mean, that's the iconic thing you've probably seen before. And the ventriloquist act. Alkaline, but I mean, that's also most of the episode. Like, it really, not that much happens.
Yeah. You can catch it if along with all the other Roseannes on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
It is on Peacock. I got served an ad for Bravo.
Ugh. Yeah. Ugh. I'm sorry. Ooh, we should watch some Real Housewives, a franchise
I am not used to Bravo.
I detest.
I am not used to that at all.
I don't understand it. And looking like as a gay man who looks like a housewife right now, it is shocking that I hate all that stuff, but I do.
Well.
And we should totally watch it and be miserable. I would love it. And most other people see this episode who had the most. Yeah, I mean, is that all the bits I knew?
We covered all the bases with no notes. You did great.
Oh, my God. But there, who knows what weird Halloween tips and tricks that they were putting in newspapers that I didn't find.
We botched this Halloween. This is the worst Halloween ever.
Well, I need to look at the scheduling of episodes, but we're either doing a normal 50s episode or a 1950s Thanksgiving episode. We'll fucking see.
You think there were more 50s Thanksgiving episodes because of the you know, intense love of patriotism and America and American history from the 1950s that was pumped into schools and media to combat communism in Korea and Russia? Or do you think that Halloween got... I know the answer to this. There were no Halloween episodes in the 50s.
It's very slim pickings for Halloween. I think there is a Father Knows Best. I've watched, you know, I've tried to watch a lot of them, but...
My God, if it was a Father Knows Best, we watched one Father Knows Best, and it was the Christmas episode, and it was literally the most maudlin thing we'd seen besides Family Affair.
Still, let's... Someone, give me... Maybe Family Affair is a Thanksgiving episode. Oh, let's do it. lots of jokes.
What's the body count?
Can't wait to hear Jody and Buffy's thoughts on the first Thanksgiving, and... Oh boy.
Only four people die.
Syphilis blankets. Oh no. Jody, stop. Buffy.
Buffy, stop.
God, what a weird show. Although one of them, oh my God, one of them did the voice of, maybe it was a Brady Bunch in the Brady Bunch cartoon. I don't know. I was reading something and I saw Family Affair came up in my life recently. Please pray for me. But yes,
it latches in. It's like mold. It just latches in and just grows.
Well,
Family Affair.
You put a Family Affair something on the internet, a boomer is going to comment and say, love this show.
Yeah.
Because I follow a lot of like just sitcom like things on Facebook. And man, that'll happen. Love this show.
Oh, we did get a comment on our MASH episode. I'm going to do something that is not going to do so well. We did get a comment from @WinterWind. I've been meaning to leave a comment on the podcast for a while, but I keep forgetting since I listen when I'm out and about. Brett and Barb and Ethan, you've quickly become my favorite people to listen to while I go about my day. I came for the heart-to-heart content, more please, and was delighted to find I Dream of Jeannie, Friends, Bewitched, Step by Step, The Nanny, That Girl, Gilligan's Island, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Gidget, and a whole lot of others being discussed. Although I did not do any of those episodes with you, Barb. I'm younger than both of you and not in the demographic of at-the-time viewers of these shows, but older media holds a special place in my heart. So it's such a treat to find people actively discussing the shows. You've also introduced me to a lot of shows I've never heard of or have heard of but never watched, which makes for an interesting
listen. Those are the ones you've done.
I like those. Yeah. Life with Luigi and
Monty.
Life for Riley. Monty. I also really enjoy that you have a great balance between casual chat and on-topic discussion about the show. It gives me the feeling of being there listening in on a conversation without it veering off into irrelevancy. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
It warms my little heart. Thank you so much. Please comment on the show on YouTube. You can send emails to an address that Barb's going to tell you because
Gmail, baby. Just very simple.
The Google email server. It's great. God, I need a haircut. Something bad. Ugh, my hair's awful.
My hair is gorgeous.
Your hair is great. I'm just going to
I haven't worn long hair in a year, probably. And God damn, I'm hot. It's crazy. It is what, like, I am beautiful. I'm a beautiful woman at all times when I'm wearing my short hair. But when I put this wig on, it was like, holy, it was like, ew, I finally understood how straight men feel about looking at Jessica Rabbit. Like, except that I was the woman and the man. Well,
currently you're dating Spider-Man in Spider-Man continuity. I believe so. I'm 3 months behind.
That's what they are. And she was very awkward around Mary Jane. But they're
fine.
It has
to be because Mary Jane has been all these different things, and now she's married to a man she met in a different dimension, and they have two kids.
It happens, you know?
Life.
Life, baby. Thanks, everybody. Ethan, where can people find you on the internet if they want to talk about Family Affair?
You can find me. Don't talk to me about Family Affair. You can find me at EthanK55 at Instagram. And I'm on Blue Sky at EthanK.BlueSky, BLSKY.com.
We don't need all that.
so don't confusing.
Need all we just need the name.
It's just Ethan K. Ethan K 55 on Instagram. And Barb, where are you? Because I see you everywhere.
I am all over the place, especially looking through your window. you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at Barb Hardly. Please also subscribe to my personal YouTube at Barb Hardly on YouTube, where I'm just posting a bunch of content. I did an unboxing video. I did an I Got Ready Without You video, which is not a thing, but I made it a thing. I reviewed some comics and some Marvel Legends action figures. Barb contains multitudes.
You are all things to all people.
And I am trying to justify spending all of the hours getting into drag by producing.
You take it from morning to night. You do as much as you can. You create as much content because that is your worth as a human being in this modern age.
Especially right now, yeah.
Create that content.
But anyway, thanks everybody.
Thanks everyone.
Keep it spooky and we'll see you next time.
Thanks
on Must Have Seen TV.
Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast.
Bye, darlings.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.